Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is episode 494. My name is Will Koontz, and I am joined by my conversation partner this week and every week, Anna Hummel.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So here's what I'm going to do, Anna, because you said you asked me if I could get here a little early. Unfortunately, I could not. So 4 o'clock, whether you're here or not, to put pressure on you a little bit, I am starting the intro, and you're going to leave me hanging by myself if you're not here.
Wow.
Pretty intense. Pretty crazy.
Watch, you just do the whole thing by yourself.
Probably.
Like, you're doing fine.
Oh, shoot, I missed it. Oh, man.
Really? You're just punishing yourself.
Yeah, probably.
God damn it. I got no one to talk to.
It sucks doing that. It's not so bad. I do the Johnny B show by myself sometimes, and it's not that bad because you get people that call in, and we have people that comment sometimes in here and stuff, but you can't make a phone call. You can't pick up the phone and call and interact with other people. So it is a challenge when you're just sitting here talking to yourself. When I have to do the videos,
really?
Which we're going to...
I do a show by myself every Friday.
Yeah.
And I am... Because it was a new way or a new way of doing radio for me because I'm not really used to doing monologues. You know, we're used to having dialogues. So I started doing this maybe about 4 or 5 months ago. And I was shocked at how long I could go with just me. No calls. I don't even like look at anybody. Obviously, I don't even look at the camera. I just like stare at the keyboard and just talk. I mean, one time I went like an hour without taking calls and just talking to myself.
It depends on the topics. It is a skill set. Certainly, I can do it too. I you know, usually you just dig down deep when you start just thinking on the fly like that. And especially in a situation where you know that it's a live program and there are people listening to it and they want you to speak and talk and fill that void of silence that they're dealing with, you often just find something, at least I do anyways. It's like I always compare it to bungee jumping where you're just bungee jumping into the abyss of your own essence. And then you find some stuff and you come back up with it. And then you got to go back down. Sometimes you're like, oh, that was exhilarating. That was a rush. What did I just confess? And then you got to go back down if there's nothing else going on. Also, with this, you can stop whenever you want, but you don't have commercial breaks here. So you can't. Do you have commercial breaks in your solo show?
Nope. It's just like a podcast. It's live on YouTube and Facebook.
Oh, okay. You can find it on YouTube and Facebook. Is it on Bubba's thing?
Yeah. Okay. Bubba Army on YouTube is probably the best way to find it.
Even though he won't let you promote this podcast on there, I'll let you promote your show on this network to the many dozens of people who see this.
It's not that he doesn't and wouldn't let me. He would get mad. I know he would get mad. Anything that I would try to promote, even just by talking about that's somewhat affiliated with radio, that's not with. Yeah. But like, he would get upset, and I would just pick my battles.
I don't want to get you in trouble, certainly. I think that's R-worded, but, you know, I at the same time, you know, whatever, that's fine. It would help, but, you know, it is what it is. I get it, I suppose. Even though I don't have anything to do with anybody, this is completely independent of everything that I do. This is a conversation with my friend that I used to do a radio show with, and now I'm not able to do that anymore. So now we do this podcast, and we've connected independently on my own little podcast streamer website.
I think it's more that it's not affiliated with the Bubba Army versus that it's you.
Okay.
Like if it was just with a random person from Wisconsin that I was talking to, he would still not want me promoting that. So he likes you a lot.
Okay.
I mean, that's what he tells me.
Everybody does. I'm awesome.
Yeah. He likes you, with Johnny. He listens. Well, you know, he claims to listen, even though he can't because he's, you know, passed out with Ambien by 6 p.m. But hey, whatever.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Whatever kind words I can get from anybody, I'll definitely take and eat them up alive. So you got to get out of here sharp at 4:30. So that was part of the reason why I just
4:35. I did a little prep beforehand, so I should be good to go.
Are you allowed to say what you're doing? I'm curious why you got to be out at 4:35 sharp.
Because I have to get ready for jiu-jitsu.
Oh, okay. What do you have to do? What do you mean? You're ready now.
No, I'm not.
What do you mean?
I don't have my rash guard on.
Oh, Anna, you should get prepared and do the show. That could be your thing in full jiu-jitsu gear. I would like that. I think that would help out.
It might be kind of hot. It's no gi tonight, but I mean... next time I can definitely put on the jacket at least.
How adorable do you look in your little gi? Do you have a picture? Are you doing this in it? You know how the kids take the pictures?
No, but actually yesterday when I was trying to do something, it's called passing guard, whatever. I did say, hi-ya! And the guy just broke.
Am I back?
Incapacitated. Oh yeah, you went dark for a second.
Yeah, the browser or something just went out on me.
I guess I'm just doing the show by myself. Oh well, here we go. but I was saying he was basically disabled by his laughter, so I was able to. I was like, okay, this is probably a good tool to have in my arsenal. To if you just make people laugh, they just kind of freeze up and. There's nothing in the rules that says you can't do that. So I've tickled people's feet before. and they're just like, what? And then I'm like, ha, gotcha. You know, like.
So. This could be a new, new form of martial art where it's more, I don't know what would you call it? If you had a name for this, where you tickle people's feet, make them giggle.
Yeah. I don't know. Like awkward on Wando. I don't know. Something like Asian, but something to do with like awkwardness and feeling uncomfortable, but not in a painful way, just in an like a socially uncomfortable way.
It is like I've seen YouTube videos of dudes walking around in the hood and they're like, what's up, YouTube? And I saw one, it was this dude walking through a mall or something. And he's like, what's up, YouTube? We're here live streaming. And some dudes got up and started walking towards him. And then he goes, I'm going to kiss the first man that I see. Now, oh, God. And then they run away. It's kind of similar to that, where you just kind of catch them off guard in a way. Because they were just going to, I don't know what they were going to do. Probably just jump in a shot and call them, you know, terrible names on live stream. But, you know, you never know. But that's interesting. Like, if you're getting assaulted, just try to touch his wiener. But, like, not hit it. Just, like, kind of massage it a little bit. And act like you like it.
I'm assuming you're saying that because maybe you've done that.
I haven't. You just gave me the idea, though, that maybe it's not a terrible idea. I know the adrenaline's pumping, like if you're attacked like that, but if you can get your adrenaline under control enough where you just kind of are able to maybe find some sort of defense against your face. Now, if they have a weapon or something like a knife, obviously you probably don't want to do this, but maybe if it's getting, you know, heated before the actual attack. And you just act like a raging homosexual and that you're super horny.
Yeah.
It might work, especially against some opponents.
I mean, jiu-jitsu is comparable to like meditation, right? It's like teaching you how to stay calm in a very stressful situation. And I really do look at it in a sort of meditative way, because the whole goal of meditation is like to be present, right? To essentially separate yourself from your thoughts and just to try to be as present as possible. And let me tell you, you are super present when someone is about to choke you the F out and you're just like, okay, what is the first thing I need to address? Is it his foot? Is it his hand? Is it his other arm? Is it his wrist? Like, what's the first thing I should address here? You know, and you're so present in the moment because you're, you know, fighting for your life, you know, in quotes, that you can't think about work tomorrow or how work went earlier that day or,
sorry, I don't know what's going on. My browser just will like conk out all of a sudden and refresh. This is concerning.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll just persevere here.
You sure will.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe just try rubbing a lady's boobs. next time she's on top of you, or rub a dude's wiener through his gi.
I've definitely grabbed, like, done like honk honks by accident, because there are some girls with, there's one in particular with ginormous tatas, and she's a petite girl. So if I touch anywhere between like her belly button and her chin, I'm grabbing some boobies, you know? So just trying to do basic stuff is, I'm like assaulting her. So every time we roll, I'm always like, sorry, sorry. Sorry.
Are they just out, or does she tie him down in like a sports bra, or does she let him hang?
They're tied down. They're not like, there's no cleavage. She's in a rash guard, but they're just so like big and like gelatinous.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way.
Yeah. Sounds great. I would love to be tackled by a lady.
Like, I really saw that.
That would be good. That'd be good. You can get in touch with this show, by the way, on Instagram and Twitter, home_made_man, HMB Radio on Facebook, hmbradio.com. You can text or leave a voicemail at 813-693-2124. I got some new stickers coming on us, some very sparkly stickers that I got from Sticker Mule. So I'll be ready to send those out here in a few weeks.
I wouldn't take you to be a sparkly kind of guy, but...
Well, they're on sale. They were on sale. So
now I get it.
Yep, anything on sale is kind of my cup of tea, you know?
Yes, I do.
I actually had a phone interview for a job yesterday, and I think it went good. I just lied a lot.
It's a new strategy.
I'm afraid, like,
I'm gay.
No, I thought about that. Did I tell you about that? And I saw Ryan Long did a skit doing that. And then essentially it was a guy who was not diverse enough, and then he claimed he was gay. And then they said, prove it. And then they made him prove it by having sex with a man. I had that idea because my thing was, how would they know? I was thinking, like, how would they know? They can't test you, obviously. He just took that to its absurd conclusion.
You're like, I'm HIV positive.
Yeah. So I thought about that, but I was surprised that I even got an email, because I don't get emails for any jobs. I'm just not in, I guess in desire. I don't know. But I did. I talked to a lady, and they ask you these questions, and I feel like I could potentially be exposing myself, because I'm afraid that they're going to have someone from an HR department look me up, and now they have me admitting that I may have fibbed on my phone conversation with the recruiter. But I did, and unfortunately, we have time to kill on this podcast, and I need things to talk about, and I rushed in here and started the YouTube, so I didn't pull up any stories or anything. So we'll talk about my lying. I'm not a good liar. I really am not. I don't like lying. Sometimes you may do a little white lie, I believe they call it, a very lie light type of scenario. Like, why are you late? Oh, I had diarrhea, like something like that. And you were just, you were late for other reasons. So this one, it was those questions like, what do you find rewarding in your current role, in your current position? And I mean, I don't mind my job, but I don't find it particularly my day job.
Oh, okay.
I like the people I work for. It's fine and it's easy. I've been doing it for so long. I don't have any problems doing it. I have a lot of downtime, so I like that. But I don't find it particularly rewarding necessarily. So I just made this story up about setting up a financial product for a child whose father that died, and that it has happened. I do that for my day job. Just I kind of narrowed it down to a fictional person and then made a backstory for them. And that's then I said, we set him up a college fund, and he kind of kept in touch with us throughout the years, and then he graduated college and he was like, wow, thank God I had this money to go to school with. Now I'm going to be a doctor. And that was great. That was so rewarding for us. And that was false. That did not happen ever. And that was one of those stories like we were talking about at the beginning, when you're doing a program by yourself and you just got to dig down and think of something to say. And it was a scenario like that. And that's what I came up with pretty quick, surprisingly quick. And it made
you say yourself like, wow, maybe I'm capable of being a psychopath, because I was able to come across as sincere so easily, even though I was completely lying.
It did.
Like, were you impressed with yourself in a kind of maniacal way?
A little bit. Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was surprised that I was able to do that so quickly. And yeah. It's not like I kind of rationalized it, because it wasn't like, we've definitely done that. We've set children up for a college fund, you know, for something that happened where they were had some sort of money. And like, we did that. We just the ending part, I like to think that the person became a doctor from this college fund that we set up. Right. So I'm just playing back the fictional person in my head and having a conversation with myself. So it's not a lie, right? I mean, it's just kind of a conversation, a fantasy between myself and this fictional person.
I think that's fine. Yeah, I mean, we wish that he would become a doctor, but he's probably on the streets of Philly on Trank.
Yeah, realistically, yes. Probably. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, it's
challenging times. So
I got asked a diversity thing too. Like, what does diversity mean to you? And I was like, oh no. I was like, oh no. And I just did the standard, you know, response. Well, diversity is important because it allows people from all different backgrounds to share their experiences, so we can come up with a solution that maybe we wouldn't think about due to our cultural background. We're able to share and learn and grow from each other. See, I just pulled that out.
I'll see that question. I want to see like what I would come up with on the fly.
Hey, just interrupting real quick for an ad for HMB Radio. I know you're listening to HMB Radio, but wherever you're listening to HMB Radio, please click the upvote button, give it 5 stars, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. This helps us with the algorithm, helps grow the show, and we really couldn't do it without you. WillsYouTube.com if you're listening on podcast. Join us. It's fun. Let's get back to the show. Hi, Anna. What would you say diversity means to you?
Well, hopefully it wouldn't be Zoom, because I feel like I would have an uncontrollable eye roll. Like,
I definitely did that a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. Were you on Zoom?
No, I was on a phone.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So you can eye roll, you know, at your leisure. God, I don't even know. I don't know. I think I would start. I think I would lose the position. I think I would mess it up, because I think my politics would shine through. I'm like, well,
yeah,
diversity that we look at is superficial, and you know, we should really think about diversity, you know, in terms of diversity of thought. And then they're just like, click.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
that's not the answer they're looking for. They're looking for an answer.
I wouldn't be able to control and contain myself.
Well,
I didn't want to work for a company where I had to be like, you know,
that's just the way so it is. Easy. I'm just telling you, that's what they all ask.
But that's why I don't work for a company that's like that.
That's how they,
or at least I did, and we all see how that ended up. So
if they are, you know, outside of the rate, well, my radio company has DEI newsletters. So, I mean, like, it's pretty.
What is it?
Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. They send out newsletters. I never read them. They go, you know, I don't read most of the emails.
Well,
that I get
from when them. The head of your HR department is Bubba the Love Sponge, you don't get newsletters like that.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Hey, stop saying these words. Yeah. Can't do it anymore.
Stop saying the N-word all the time.
I think if you were to, you know, I should have done this too, because this is technically not a lie. While I'm not particularly religious, my background is with Jews. My mother comes from the Jewish heritage. She's not particularly religious either. In fact, I don't even think she's bananas about the Jews. But I feel like you could start out the conversation, well, as a Jewish person, and then you could maybe go into it, and then maybe you get some sort of like bonus points for that. I don't know. I feel like with the ADL stuff that's going on right now, Elon's going to sue the what's the ADL stand for again? Something Defense League.
Oh my God. You sure it's not the, oh my God, I'm having such a brain fart right now.
I know. Well, it's because the cameras are on it. There's just, I'm going to look it up real quick.
ADL. It's not ADL.
It's not?
No.
Anti-Defamation League.
Oh, God.
Anti-Defamation League.
Anti-Defamation League.
Yeah. So I guess they kind of represent a lot, but it's Mr. Greenblatt is the head of that organization, a Jewish man. And Elon is fighting him right now, threatening to sue them because of his pause with advising companies because these companies, you know, rely on these prestigious, non-government organizations to function. And unfortunately, just like every other institution, they get corrupt. And so he's advised that a pause be don't advertise on Twitter for now. Let's see what happens. Let's see what maybe Elon will give a donation, something like that. But no, right as of right now, he's not a good person, not a good person to advertise with.
Yeah, it's hard when I was thinking about this. I saw this yesterday where when Vladimir Putin is singing your praises, you're just like, this isn't going to be good for me. You know,
who is was it he's singing Elon about Elon?
Yeah, I think the Ukrainian military like reached out to him about using Starlink offensive military action. And he said no, like he not because he's like, I don't think he's like pro-Russia, but he's like anti-war. He's like, no, I'm not going to let you use my stuff so you can kill people. And Putin was like, this guy's great. And then on that end, you're like, great. Like Adolf Hitler is a fan of mine. You know what I mean?
Well, you get stuck in that binary where it's like, if you're not with it's a Bush doctrine. And that's what we're living in now. If you're not with us, you're against us. There is no nuance and, you know, any sort of principles. That
made me laugh because I get the conundrum he's probably in. I don't find a problem with, you know, Putin singing his praises, but I know that a lot of people are going to give him crap for that, even though he's like, I can't help who loves me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's so everything. It's really hard to find somebody that has I don't know, he seems all right, I don't know, like opinion about Elon. Or there's like certain figures out there that just have it's like a mousetrap in people's brain. Aaron Rodgers, perfect example. Aaron Rodgers blew out his ACL his Achilles snapped. So he's done, and there's a lot of hype for him. People have a mousetrap reaction to his whenever he's brought up. It's either positive or negative.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say it surprises me, but it still kind of does. Like how people were just rooting for him to be just absolutely mutilated. Like, especially people who are Packers fans that I know personally.
Yeah.
They hate Aaron Rodgers and they're like, I hope he gets paralyzed. You're like, this is a human being playing a game and you want him to just be disabled for the rest of his life because he's not playing for your team anymore. But people were elated that he had possibly a career ending injury. I mean, what do you think? You think he's done for life? I've suffered from Achilles tendonitis, so not even a tear or a snap or a break or anything. And it took me probably about 7-8 months to fully heal from that. And that was just like inflammation of the Achilles, not even a snap. So, you know, a full tear, and he's what, 39?
39. Yeah, so that's pretty old for football years. You know, Tom Brady played till 45 now. Yeah, it might be.
He just turned 46 in August. I believe his birthday is August 3rd. If you want to double check me on that, that'd be great.
Okay, I can. I'm afraid to touch my browser here, so I don't want to hit any other tabs because I'm afraid it's going to conk
August
out on me.
August 3rd, you turned 46?
Is that you looking?
Right? No, nope.
All right, I'll check you right now. Tom Brady Jets is already trending on there. Let's see. He is 46. So he played till he was 45. So could he? Yeah, I think he could.
He took his birthday. I just want to make sure I'm right.
Yeah. So what did you say it was? August what? The 3rd of August.
Yes.
It is August 3rd, 1977. Okay. Wow. Rain Man over here.
As always. All right, go ahead.
Will Aaron Rodgers come back? I don't know. There was so much hype, and it would be like a, you know, New York. I saw a video by O.J. Simpson of all people, and he was like, did it on 9/11, and he was like, man, New York just has the worst luck. He's talking about Aaron Rodgers on the day of the 9/11 anniversary, and it's like, oh, don't do that. Just don't even compare the two things. But I don't know.
9/11 to Aaron Rodgers getting hurt.
It would, yeah.
It was devastating.
It definitely was devastating to the city. Like, people, that was such a big deal. Like, they were Super Bowl contenders. It was the final piece of the puzzle for the Jets to get over the hill. And as a somebody who's not a Jets fan and knowing the Jets history, it would be very fitting if Aaron Rodgers, the savior, came in, played one game, five snaps, and then had to retire afterwards. That would be, not wishing that to happen. I think if you know, I just think it would be funny if it did, if he retired right after that. Yeah. Sorry, guys, I just can't do it. And then they're like,
right, just takes the wind out of their sails.
As it deserves to be. The Giants are the only football team in New York, and they got their behinds whooped by the...
I didn't see that. Wasn't it like 40-0? Like, that's pretty...
Yeah, they got worked. They got worked big time. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like probably you must feel some sort of obligation to the fan base. Like, I have to come back and at least play one season here and meet these expectations. Like, you don't think?
I mean, it'd be great. I just don't know if that's in the cards for him, you know, considering the severity of the injury, A, and B, his age. You know, when's he going to come back at 41? I mean, and then 41 on top of not working out consistently for 2 years or whatever. Maybe it's a year. Maybe if he's lucky and he gets all the stem cell shots in his tendon, I mean, I don't think you can come back even within a year.
I think he could.
Maybe
I think he could work out. You could still kind of stay in shape, do arms, shoulders. You have trainers. You know, they'll hire the best people in the world to keep him sort of healthy, figure out what exercises he can do until he's able to, you know, work that leg. But yeah, it's a commitment. I don't even think his heart was really in it anyways. I don't feel like I think he wanted one more big payday. And, you know, maybe an opportunity with another team for whatever reason. I don't know. He was one of the Packers have had this happen before, though, with Brett Favre, and he replaced Brett Favre. And then Brett went around to a few different places, like wouldn't let it go. Tom Brady aged out. The Patriots let him go. He came down to Tampa, won a Super Bowl. And I think that was the expectations for Aaron, too, even though, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is good. I happen to like Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's unfairly demonized, but I don't know, he's not Tom Brady. I mean, he won one Super Bowl, I think. He's a great quarterback, but Tom Brady's got him by a lot. So the expectations, like, he's going to do what Tom Brady did. Not the same guy at all.
I'm talking sports, so obviously, you know, take my 2 cents for what it's worth. But it seems like he would be the next quarterback in line in terms of media coverage, right? Like Tom Brady, everyone's always talking about Tom Brady. But then after that, it seemed like here, perfect example. I know who Aaron Rodgers is. I don't know who the other quarterbacks are, you know, but I hear Aaron Rodgers.
And you know, Patrick Mahomes?
Yes, but it's also because he's like a polarizing figure as well. So that's probably why most of the reason why he was, you know, on my radar, I guess.
Do you know Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what team he plays for?
Huh?
Do you know what team he plays for?
KC, Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. Do you know who I'm trying to think of, like, who the big studs are? Lamar Jackson is?
Yes.
Who does he play for?
The Ravens.
Yeah. So you know a lot. Oh, you just guessed on that one.
I knew it was a purple team. So I'm like, I think it's the Baltimore.
That was exhilarating for you. There was real joy in your face. It was like you won $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. All right. Do you know who Jared Allen is? Or not Jared Allen. Sorry. Josh Allen.
No. Nope. Sounds familiar. Don't know.
Josh Allen.
Any guess? Can I phone a friend?
Yeah.
Will?
Yep.
What team does Josh Allen play for?
Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
Correct. Let's see who else. As far as like major big names, I know I'm probably missing quite a few.
Deshaun
Watson. You know him he's more infamous to you than, you know, famous.
Yes, because of the sexual allegation stuff. I believe he played for the Texans.
Yeah, he did. What's his current team? Nothing. I feel it. Something was close. Browns, same okay. State, Cincinnati, Cleveland. What about right. Baker Mayfield? Do you know who that is?
Yes.
What team does he play for?
The Bucks.
Oh, see, you know quite a bit, I would say. I mean, you're definitely you're a novice, but you know things.
I know Deion Sanders.
Who is he?
Apparently, I want to say this is confirmed, but God only knows. He should be on our show the end of this week or next week.
Oh, that's cool.
He's a personal friend of Bubba Love Sponge. They've known each other for 29 years, apparently. And Bubba reached out to him and asked him to do an interview. And he said, I would absolutely talk to my publicist. I'm crazy busy, but yes, let's make it work.
He's right in the heart of the season now. Yeah.
Yeah. He seems to be in the limelight for all the right reasons.
Yeah. Well, it's pissing some people off, but he's the head coach of Colorado now and has really turned that franchise around. They are 2-0 now, beat Boise State, I think was the first one. And then they beat Nebraska last week. So, and they got them ranked. I mean, Deion seems to be the real deal. I fantasize about it now because there's speculation that he might come to the University of South Florida and be the football coach.
Which I thought he was offered that. And
I think he was.
For a few reasons that, again, I'm just parroting stuff I heard earlier today, that he was offered, I think, $29 million at Colorado for a five-year contract and $25 million at USF, and then also he wanted total control of the athletics or the football department, and USF said no, and Colorado said hell yeah.
Yeah, well, that might have been a mistake, but I don't know. We got Alex Golish now, man.
This is that weirdo, like, kind of gingery kind of guy.
Yeah, it's a new era for USF football. USF takes on the Crimson Tide on Saturday.
What is that mascot? Is it just
elephant?
Period blood? What is it?
Elephant.
Oh.
Pachyderm.
For Alabama is an elephant?
Yep.
Huh.
Crimson Tide. I don't really know. Red wave.
I thought it was like a Cajun thing.
Nope, it's Alabama. I don't really know. I mean, you're right. It's a stupid name.
Like, I thought it was like tadpool, like a crawfish. Like,
I do have the, I think Louisiana is the crawfish or something. Raging. Okay. Oh, no, they're the Raging Cajuns, which is a great name.
Is that?
Yeah. The Raging Cajuns?
Okay.
You don't think so?
Is it like crawfish code for is better? Crazy angry black man? Like,
the Raging Cajun?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Never heard that before. Hmm. Well, Anna, I know you got to get out of here, and I'm surprised with your sports knowledge. I didn't think that we were going to go in the realm of sports, but I'm glad we did. It was nice to
watch.
It was a good conversation. You can catch Anna at Jiu-Jitsu, Tickling People's Feet, and on the Bubble Love Sponge Show. You can just Google it, I'm sure, and you'll find it.
Yes, you can.
Great.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to go break some boards and hopefully break some necks and some hearts too. So
now we're talking. Mark says hi to you and not to me. So thank you, Mark.
Mark Carr is one of the few people I miss, like, of the Bone fam. You know, it was basically, well, there was a few, but what was the other one that I'm trying to think of? I can't remember the name, but I can see the face. But Mark Carr was standard. Maybe Darlene Wells. She's still alive.
Yeah, I think she is still around. I think she reached out to Johnny B at one point, just said she's not as active, you know, in the community as she used to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I got a shout out. Thank you, Mark. It hurts my feelings.
There you go. Yeah, there were some great people in the Bone fam, and I do miss them, and I think of them sometimes when I turn on the radio. I do have, let's just say, three more minutes because I'd love to get just the tea on what's going on with Monica and JP.
Oh,
if you'd like to comment on that briefly.
Yeah, we talked about it last night. It was a very benign kind of situation. I don't really, you know, obviously I wasn't there, so I don't really know. It was a situation where JP commented on Joy Behar and how much he hated her. They were talking about somehow she came up. And, you know, Monica kind of jabbed him and said, why? Because she's a woman who talks. And he just lost it. on her. So it would sound like it was maybe a situation that's been kind of billowing, and it's just one little thing that can kind of throw it over the edge.
Yes, I've heard from many sources that she likes to accuse JP of being every ist under the sun. So I think he was just tired of that.
Well, they butt heads a lot. I mean, they couldn't be more different politically. And I think they're both pretty...
tall and white, short and brown. Got it.
Well, just one's like a progressive Democrat and one's like a Trump Republican type. So that obviously, you know, in this climate, you're going to bump heads. You have to be professional and work together. They do that most of the time. It was just one of those things, you know, sometimes you get annoyed with people you work with. It happens, and then you fight, and then you it goes away.
Yeah, it's with that, I feel like it's about politics, but it's also like just personal insults. You know, like it's fine if you're discussing a topic and you disagree, but when you're like accusing someone of like constantly being a racist and a sexist and a xenophobist or whatever, you know, xenophobe, that can get tiring because you're just like, what the hell? Like everything, I can't even make a comment about somebody because God forbid that person is a person of color or a woman or something, and now I'm a racist sexist.
Yeah, you can't be critical of that. I hear you. I understand. It's like aristocrats. You're not allowed to mess with the bourgeoisie.
I heard that JP was off today, or he didn't come on the show.
I don't know. I don't have any inside information on that or anything, but I did hear that as well.
Get some. So.
I don't even know who to contact. I don't. The only person I talk to is Johnny B. So I don't really know. We kind of try to mind our own business for the most part. We did talk about it though last night. It was I love a good on-air fight, boy. That
ooh,
is
especially
best.
When it doesn't involve you. It's the best.
Oh, it's the best. I've never had like a knockdown drag out fight with you or Johnny or I guess that's really all that I've worked with during my time, but it's it is fun to watch when you're not a part of it. I know it sucks being a part of it, but
yes, it's not fun.
Yeah. Mark says that Monica is one of his best friends. It's hard to see her being bashed so much. Oh, I know why she's being bashed. So, I mean, just read why. It's because she accuses people of being certain things. She says, I guess I heard her on the morning show this morning and on Calta, and she was saying that it was just a joke and just kind of rubbing
just
them.
Jokes, cuz. Just yeah. Jokes.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things that happened. I'll be interested to see if he's there tomorrow. I'll be tuning in. It's good times. Good for ratings.
Sure is.
Bye, Anna. That's it. That's the show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Anna Hummel. Thank you, me. And thank you for being you, for tuning in, whether it's on podcast at hmbradio.com, your favorite podcasting app, HMB Radio. You can find it there or on Radio St. Pete. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next. So stay tuned for Anna Hummel. My name's Will Koontz. See you on the Johnny B Show, 8 p.m. on the Bone. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.